Module 15, Post-Rut and Late Season. Chapter 2, Hide and Seek.
A sanctuary is a place that an elk is going to go where he's very unlikely or least likely to be disturbed by other hunters. Where hunters don't want to go either because of what it takes to get in there, what it would take to retrieve an elk. Boundaries are sanctuaries. State borders are sanctuaries. There's a lot of things that make up sanctuaries, and I want to talk about some of them. The most common ones we talk about when we're hunting big and just vast tracts of public land are sanctuaries that are created by distance. In other words, how far do I got to walk in to get away from motors? Then we have topography. Topography can be canyons, it can be mountains. Maybe it's a big sloping mountain, but it's a long distance. Or maybe it's just 800 vertical feet that then benches out. But that 800 vertical feet causes everyone to say, I don't want to climb up there. Maybe it's a public-private boundary. Think about how people hunt near public-private boundaries. Usually the hunters on the private side say, oh, don't go there because you'll push those elk over onto the public. Keep them on the private. And usually the public guys say, oh, I don't want to hunt right up to there because if I shoot one and it jumps the fence, I may not be able to retrieve it. So public-private boundaries create this sanctuary effect. Boundaries between units can create sanctuaries. Most of the guys don't want to hunt right up to the border. They want to hunt way out, right in the core area of all of this great public land. I don't blame them. Me? I'm gonna go hunt right up next to that state border. Tribal boundaries. I know how many times we've hunted right up next to tribal boundaries. All of these boundary areas create sanctuaries. And sometimes they're the most effective places to hunt because you don't have tons of other hunters in there in these few sanctuaries that might exist in the unit. If there's only one really rough, nasty canyon in your unit, guess what? The guys who know about sanctuaries, they're probably gonna be there. Maybe you should go look for a boundary that creates a sanctuary. So we talked about the things that can help you find and comprise a sanctuary. Again, distance and topography being the most common, boundaries and borders being the next common. Now that we know that, what are you looking for in a sanctuary? In other words, what is the spot within the spot? When these bulls go to sanctuary, they need some food yet, and they need some water. A lot of people will look at a big, vast tract of dark timber and say, oh, there's some bulls in there. That's got to be their sanctuary. You know what? There's a chance there's some bulls in there. But there's no food or very, very little food. So they're not going to hang out there as much as they otherwise would. You find a burn, you find an opening, you find an avalanche chute that is next to all of that big carpet of dark timber. That's a sanctuary. Those are the places elk want to travel the shortest distance possible. The greater distance they travel, the more they expose themselves to danger. So they are looking for sanctuary areas that have food nearby and water nearby. And we get in the later season when there's snow on the ground, the water component becomes even less. The food component becomes even higher because of the temperature changes. They got to feed more. They're burning energy. They have to get energy back or fat back on their body to get through the winter. So there's a lot of nuances to hunting these sanctuary areas. Sometimes sanctuaries might just be in what direction does it face during what time of the year. I'm always looking for sanctuaries, if at all possible, that are somewhere between the northwest slope and the east slope. Very seldom do I see bulls on the southeast, south, or southwest slopes. Can happen. I just don't see it that often in sanctuary mode. They're looking for the places, again, that people don't want to go. Those northern slopes sometimes have blowdown, sometimes they have avalanche chutes. The food factor is usually a little bit better in the late season. The sun burns most of the food off the south-facing slopes. By August, you see how brown it is on the south-facing slopes. If you can just get to a northwest or an east or a northeast, whatever, you will find that even in September, October, November, the grass is usually more lush, hasn't been burned off to just, you know, nothing but crunchy dryness as it has on the south facing slopes. So don't think that every spot that just because it's far from a road or a trail or has a steep climb to get there or a steep climb to get down there, don't automatically assume that that sanctuary is as good as every other sanctuary. So that's kind of the general idea of sanctuaries, but understand the sanctuaries elk like to use also have this other component. They want sanctuaries that are hard to approach without them hearing or without you, me, being heard or smelled. And they also want sanctuaries that have a very fast escape route. If you ever go and find these sanctuaries, these post-rut, late season areas that bulls use, I can guarantee you that it's either gonna be noisy to get to because there's a scree slope somewhere nearby, or you gotta climb through some deadfall or something. And I can also assure you that there's probably a quick exit into some dark timber, off a cliff, around a corner of a bunch of rocks. That is why they use those areas. And they learned about those areas from other bulls in the bachelor groups, especially these late season bachelor bulls. These are historic places. They get used year after year after year because they have everything the elk are looking for when they're trying to avoid hunters. So what does that mean? When you find sanctuaries, don't share them with your brother. Don't share them with anybody unless you want that spot ruined, because those elk are coming back every year. And if you keep that quiet, you'll be able to kill a bull elk there every year. Every year. Sometime during the course of the year. Maybe weather gets them there earlier, maybe it gets them there later. But the odds are you are going to find elk in that sanctuary year after year after year. Last part on sanctuaries. We're talking about post-rut and late season. What's happening from the post-rut to the late season? The elk are migrating to their winter range. And in some places, maybe it's flat and they're just migrating more out into grassland areas from pinyon junipers. Here in the Northern Rockies, it's usually elevation-related migration. The sanctuaries that you're looking for in the post-rut are those closer to the summer range, to where the breeding was happening. As winter comes, or as the season progresses, the sanctuaries you're looking for in November are the ones closer to the winter range. The cows and the young bulls, they might just think, you know what, too much snow, let's get out of here. Or, you know what, the feed's dried up here, let's head out into the grasslands. It happens in 1 or 2 days. With the bulls, it takes a ton of elements to get them to leave the high country or leave the marginal habitat and head out to the winter range. A lot of times they will move just little bits. They'll move a half mile or a mile and they'll find a new sanctuary. The point is, the sanctuaries that are higher or closer to the summer and breeding areas are the ones you're gonna look for in the post-rut period. And as the seasons, as the calendar swings more towards late season, you're gonna be looking for the sanctuaries that are closer to the winter range. All that said, there is no perfect science to this. Go and look for sanctuaries. Even if you don't have a tag, go out and look in this post-rut and late season period. You're gonna find the patterns, you're gonna understand it, and once you solve it, you'll know what a sanctuary looks like in the area you're hunting, and year after year after year, you're gonna find bull elk there. If you've got a weekend to hunt, if you've got 4 days, 5 days to hunt, when you show up, you need to have a strategy. You can't just show up and say, well, when the sun comes up, I'll look around and figure it out. Most of my scouting is done before I even get to the trailhead. E-scouting, desk scouting, whatever you want to call it, is one of the most critical parts of figuring out what you're looking for and where you're going to find it in the post-rut and in the late season. Once you get accustomed to finding sanctuaries and knowing what a sanctuary looks like, you can look at the lines in a topo map and almost pick out that's gonna be a sanctuary. And as quick as you get on your Onyx maps or your Google Earth, sure enough, yeah, that's a sanctuary. Those are the things you're gonna look for. But when you show up, that's not the time to find them. before you show up is the time to find them. At home, on your computer, with all the tools available to us today. And I know Corey's done a really big course or chapter on using Google Earth in this course. That's a great tool. That sanctuary is going to be very visible on Google Earth because of its features or its distance from roads and trails. You want to have those marked on your GPS or on your cell phone app, whatever you have, when you show up. Maybe you even have a printed out map. So I can't overemphasize the importance of e-scouting or desk scouting. Let's say this is a weekend hunt. You got Saturday and Sunday. In my e-scouting and preparation for this, I want to have, say, three locations that are glassing locations. And where I pick those glassing locations is going to be a function of what sanctuaries I find and where I find the sanctuaries. So glassing spot A, I want to have 3 to 4 sanctuaries, just small little pockets, breaks in the topography. It might be canyons, it might be cliffs, it might be burns. It's something that causes a break in the topography that makes it likely an elk's going to be nearby. So in glassing spot A, in my desk scouting, I've found 2, 3, maybe 4 sanctuaries that I can glass from spot A. Then I'm going to go and identify, okay, here's some more sanctuaries. Where's a glassing spot where I can glass 2, 3, 4 more sanctuaries from spot B? So I get there the night before the hunt, Friday night. I want to get there early. I want to be able to see what's going on, read what the hunting pressure is going to be by how many camps. Has the weather changed? Has a gate been put across a road that I didn't expect? All kinds of things to eliminate other variables and assess what variables I'll be able to control or not control. You can't control hunting pressure, you can't control weather, you can't control a lot of things. But if you know what they are, you can adapt to them. That's why I always try to get there the afternoon before. If I can't get off work early, okay, get there the evening before. So that morning, Saturday morning, I will have glassing spot A already picked out. It's my number one spot. The spot I think has the best sanctuaries, the spots I think are less likely to have hunting pressure, that are near the needs of what elk are looking for. Remember, in the post rut and late season, they're looking for sanctuary. Somewhere down the list comes food and then water. Breeding, anything like that, forget about it. So you are looking for these sanctuary spots from one glassing location that you can look at. And you're going to sit there. You're going to be there well before the sun comes up, and you're going to sit there until 11 o'clock, maybe noon, just glassing and looking. And if nothing happens, then you're going to have to get up, maybe hike out to the truck, drive to your next trailhead, and go to spot B. Glassing spot B should have anywhere from 2 to 4 sanctuaries. And you want those sanctuaries, if you can, when you're selecting sanctuaries, find some that maybe have this feature. Hey, this one's a little closer to water. This one's a little closer to food. This one might be near a burn. This one's in some deep, ugly, nasty country or up a steep face. All of them, it's kind of like fishing. You're experimenting with lures and letting the fish tell you what lure they like or what color or what presentation. Well, the whole idea of having a wide variety of attributes to each sanctuary is the elk will tell you what attribute they're preferring at that time you're hunting. So if you have 4 sanctuaries, that one's close to food, one's close to water, this one's steeper, this one's not as steep, and you don't see anything, you're like, I better go find 4 other sanctuaries or 3 other sanctuaries at glassing point B or glassing point C that maybe let me look at some other things. Maybe they're further from the trail. Maybe they're up at the snow line. Maybe it's an old burn. There's things that almost by trial and error, by experimentation, by being there and looking and not doing the same thing every time in every place, you're sooner or later going to uncover what is the pattern, what is the need that the bull elk have on that weekend that you're hunting. Don't do the same thing at every location. What's the old saying? If you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. That applies to elk hunting. And the most common thing you're going to see, in whether it's morning or evening, you're probably going to see that bull from afar, and you're going to have to make a play on him for the next, what I call, activity period. So if you see him in the morning, you're going to have to move and get in position when he comes out that evening. If you see him in the evening, you're going to have to, the next morning, you're going to have to get in position and be there during the first half hour shooting light and be there to shoot him in the morning. Very seldom in these post-rut and late season hunts do I see a bull in the morning and I go and shoot him that morning. Happens, but not very often. So all of a sudden, day one's done. You've got maybe glassing spot C, which has a few more sanctuaries. You go do that the next morning. And maybe you don't have any luck then. Now what do you do? Well, for me, that last afternoon, I'm out on recon mode. If none of my sanctuaries, none of my glassing spots showed me anything, then things that are happening out there are different than I expected. I might just go on a glassing mission. Yeah, I'm going to carry my rifle. I'm going to be there. I am going to be hunting. But I'm out there trying to do something different than what I did in my first three glassing locations. Because when I come back the next weekend, I want to have a slightly different strategy. And sometimes, maybe it takes weather, maybe it takes hunting pressure, maybe it takes something else, where you come back the next weekend and you try the same thing the first morning and the second morning, all of a sudden, whoa, there's elk around here. A few things have changed. You are still working your system, and the system is, what do the elk need? Because whatever they need, that's where they're going to go to find it. That's what my day-to-day system is. Now, if you have a five-day hunt instead of just a weekend hunt, when I show up on a five-day hunt, I usually will have five glassing locations in my mind. I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to keep it rolling until I run out all those glassing locations, A, B, C, D, and E. A, B, C, D, E, five. And each of them are going to have a little bit different situation. And over the course of doing that, I am going to learn enough that in most instances, you're going to figure out what the elk are needing and where they're going to get it, and you're going to be able to find them.